Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 128 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I get a chance to talk to Scott Umsheed from Scott's Kitchen and Catering at Hangar 29. It's called that because it is located just outside the Kansas City International Airport. This one I've wanted to talk to Scott for a long time. I'm really excited. They are open from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. weekdays, not the weekends, because they do a lot of catering because it's in their name and it's a big part of their business. This one is great because, as you know, I like to hear the journey, and the journey is interesting. He has a background in food, but it's not in food preparation, but slowly transitioned into the catering business. And then we talk about how he got this restaurant. We talk about Kansas City Barbecue and his menu in depth, and specifically about burnt ends and the different ways that they do burnt ends. It's really, really interesting. Scott's super passionate about what he does, and he's also very methodical, and there's lots of advice for future restaurateurs or people that are just starting their restaurants or have restaurants. Maybe you'll be able to glean some information off of this that might help you or give you a spark of an idea that might help out. But I can't thank Scott enough for taking the time. I know you guys are going to enjoy this. And I am stoked to have The Smokesheet on board as a sponsor for this podcast. The Smokesheet is a barbecue newsletter with original content, with barbecue news throughout the United States, barbecue joint openings and closings, and things that are happening with different pitmasters and chefs, and they're moving or opening second locations. It's available at bbqnewsletter.com. That's bbqnewsletter.com. A lot of you guys have already signed up for it. Have written me and said how much they enjoy getting it. It's available every Wednesday. It comes in your email box. And beyond all the news and information, there's also links to barbecue podcasts and barbecue YouTube videos that have popped up, because there's tons of them popping up all the time. Also, a barbecue recipe of the week. It was started by Ryan Cooper, who is Barbecue Tourist, and Sean Ludwig, who is NYC Barbecue. The two of them have traveled across the country, and they continue to travel and go to new places and events and barbecue spots. And they write about that in the newsletter, as well as get information before anybody else. It's definitely a great resource. You're going to love it. It's available again at bbqnewsletter.com. That's bbqnewsletter.com. The Smokesheet, barbecue news worth consuming. And if you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out on any of them and you get a chance to see all the back episodes. I have a lot now online in the podcast and on the YouTube channel, so don't want you to miss out on those. And I'm going to start highlighting those in my Instagram feed. I'm going to start going back to the first ones and then highlighting them as they progress. My Instagram and my Twitter is at Kevin's BBQ Joints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with links to all my podcasts and YouTube stuff, and my visits to butcher shops and barbecue joints and all that good stuff. But thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoy this. Well, good afternoon, Scott. I'm glad I got a chance to talk to you.
Yes, thank you. Yes, great to finally connect with you, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, I've been looking forward to it. Like I had said off camera, Jill Silva, Ryan Cooper, Artie Davis, a number of people have told me you got to talk to Scott, and you were on my list, but it would just reinforce the fact that I needed to speak with you.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, you have quite the, man, how many episodes now?
That's like 120 or so, which is phenomenal. Like, I can't even imagine that even got to that. It just started as like a whim. I interviewed a couple people. Like, I wanted to do this just to get to know people, get to know their stories, and then it just snowballed. And it's exciting. I love talking to new people, and especially too, like, I want to share. A lot of people that listen to this are really into Central Texas style barbecue. Not all of them, but a good percentage. And I want them to understand Kansas City barbecue. And your restaurant isn't 100%. It's like kind of an amalgam, right?
Right. Well, we've So we. I don't know if I can even really explain it yet. I mean, certainly we wanted to do our version, our style of Kansas City barbecue. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, we felt like there were just more things that you can do with this delicious smoked meat that you spend so much time preparing. And it's sort of what we've always done. I mean, you know, after we, you know, light that pit and get it going in the garage or the backyard, and, you know, once you cook a brisket and a pork butt and it's all gone, it's like, man, hold on. You know, I just spent 14 hours in a whole Saturday, you know, making this. So kind of since then, we always made more. And, you know, so then you've got your leftovers and heck yeah, tacos, burritos. Why not?
That's a great way to describe what you're doing, too. That's an awesome way to describe it.
Yeah, and I will tell you that you know, there was a time in my life as I was a younger man that I got to, I spent a lot of time traveling to Texas. So I would go to San Antonio, Austin, Fort Worth, Houston, and that's where I first experienced a breakfast taco, barbecue breakfast taco. And oh my gosh, wow. I mean, amazing. Couple that with some time that I spent in living in California and all the different sort of options of tacos out there and burritos, just great culinary masterpieces. And sort of, we felt like we wanted to do our style of that here, and people have really taken to it.
Did you grow up in Kansas City? Or?
Yeah, so I grew up near Manhattan, Kansas, in a town called Womego. And yeah, man, grew up on a farm, farm kid doing chores, you know, livestock, crops, tractors.
Wow.
You know, all that kind of stuff, hay.
It sounds kind of nostalgic. Is it something that you are nostalgic for, or was it something that, could you ever see yourself doing that again in your later years? Or?
You know, I mean, first of all, my later years are sort of here, Kevin.
I don't think so. I don't, maybe. You know, I hate to think it, probably for me too.
Yeah, but no, I mean, after a while, you know, you start to get some mileage on the old odometer. But, you know, I would tell you that, yes, that would be amazing. I don't really see that happening.
Yeah.
But growing up in that lifestyle around those type of people really teach you a well, you don't know until later.
For sure.
But you realize how important that work ethic and, you know, working the ground and just being around people that produce food and everything that goes in it is pretty amazing. Not a lot of, you know, barbecue at that time, a little steaks and grilling, but definitely three squares a day. I mean, a great breakfast, you know, after you've been out doing some chores and, you know, lunch, you know, sometimes brought out to the field. I mean, the best tasting food ever, you know, when you're working that hard
and oh, then yeah.
Big dinner, but lots of pork, you know. I remember when I was younger, some, you know, butchering going on in the barns, and, you know, we would, you know, do some of that ourselves before the locker plants kind of came around and made it a little bit easier on you.
Are you comfortable butchering?
Yeah. You know,
a little bit.
I'm to the point where I'll pretty much do anything, and learn from it. I don't, you know, I'm not a, you know, a snout to tail type, you know, deal. I mean, we need brisket and we need pork butts and we need ribs and the rest of this stuff, you know, we'll leave to somebody else to cook that and butcher that kind of stuff. But
you guys were breaking down pigs back on the farm.
Yeah, but that was my uncle's and my dad's. I mean, I was just a little twerp running around watching that fascinated, you know.
Okay.
You know, county fairs and FFA and 4-H and all that kind of was great. I know my first sort of real barbecue experience, if I look back on it, was my uncle's and my dad, like every other year, would do a hog in the ground.
Really?
I don't know if it was just a reason for them to stay up all night and
drink and hang out and talk.
Drink and hang out and get together. But that was awesome. I remember, you know, that. But in terms of the whole barbecue thing, that came really much later.
Was it because of a relative or a friend that was doing it? Because you got into the competition scene. So how did that, what was that transition?
Yeah, so actually my first competition was 10 years ago. Oh. That was right here in our hometown competition, Basswood. And my brother-in-law had... he's a great cook. He can cook whatever he wants and do it very well. But he and his dad and our good friend, we did our first competition, and it's here locally, Basswood Resort, Platte City, Missouri. My job, my responsibility was chicken.
Okay.
I went out on the internet and I found a recipe for competition barbecue chicken. And it was a great blog, like a 15-page documentary of how to do competition chicken.
Wow.
And so I sort of got all into it, consumed, practiced over and over, cooked it on a borrowed Oklahoma Joe, old Oklahoma Joe offset.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And anyway, so we went out to this competition. For four meets, we probably took six smokers. I mean, we had we had t-shirts made. We probably had 50 people out there. And for those that do barbecue competitions and know, I mean, it's usually you and your partner or you and your wife or you and your buddy.
That's so funny.
So we were the complete rookies. I mean, now that I've done several, I was like, oh, yeah. I was the
guy. Yeah, you guys stood out.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So anyway, we had all our kids, friends, family. Everybody was out there having a great time. And of course, we were going to win. You know, of course, we knew that we had the best everything. So yeah, it was great. So we had an awesome time. So, but I didn't know anything. I mean, I didn't, you know, I had to research, like, you know, you turn in your chicken at noon, ribs at 12, you know, all that sort of thing. I mean, you know, we had smoked some stuff and cooked some stuff, but competition takes it to a whole new level of precision that's necessary. So,
and is it chicken thighs for competition?
Chicken thighs. Yeah. That's what you cook. It's what you cook. Man, I mean, this recipe had me scraping the skin and take, you know, off, you know, so you pull the skin off, you scrape the fat off of it, you put it all together. So
so deliberate.
We had something going on with the chicken. We did know it was good. I mean, it was literally, I copied this guy's recipe to the T. He was out on the circuit at the time doing really good stuff. Fast forward. So now we turned everything in. It's awards time. We go to awards. Again, we took our troop of like 50 people down there, and there's probably 60 other people there. It was a big contest, but I mean, still, we just had an entire troop. And so, you know, if you go to a contest, you know that they start with usually 10th place, 10, 9, 8. So, you know, and chicken is the first award that, you know, the first thing you turn in and the first award that you get. Our name's not called 9, 8, so... I mean, and our family's competitive. My wife's, you know, super excited. I mean, everybody wants us to get our name called. I'd never been to an award ceremony. I mean, I'd never seen any of this. Anyway, 7-6-5, our name's not called. 4-3, we're all looking around. I mean, I barely slept, drank a lot, you know. Shaking at this point. My brother-in-law sort of looks at me, gives me the old, you know, wink and, you know, silent, you know, you got this. And second place, name's not called. I mean, first place, they called our team name.
Wow.
We erupted like the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. I mean, the kids were all tired. It's 4 p.m. They're sort of napping. And, you know, we wake them up. They're crying. Everybody's screaming. The people around us are looking at us like, you know, what the heck's going on with these guys? But anyway, that set the hook. I went up there, got my first ribbon.
That's so cool.
Check for my chicken. And so that set the hook in terms of liking to smoke. I will tell you this. I've never won chicken since.
What do you think it was? Just that first, like, do you think you had more passion for it? Like, not passion, but you, like, were in more intense on it?
I don't know, Kevin. It was good chicken. And we've cooked some other good chicken, too. But it had to be maybe a little bit of the good Lord or yes. Maybe destiny a long time ago setting me on a path.
Yeah, you exactly. Know. Pushing you towards that direction. Yeah, exactly.
You know, you never know. But that was good. You know, since then, we do, we have a few years ago, we did 7 or 8 contests per summer, and that was great.
That's a good amount.
But since then, you know, the last couple of years since we opened the restaurant, we've only done a couple. And, you know, it's just hard to work all that in when, you know, here I mean, it's tongue in cheek, but I just say we're competing here every day.
And your judges come in the door and yeah. And they could leave you, and the prize is potentially maybe a Yelp review, I guess, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, the review scene, definitely. You get various ways of getting feedback, and it's pretty immediate.
And also, too, you get to see what people, like the excitement of when people really enjoy the food. That's, and then also, too, when 3 or 4 really notable people tell me that I need to talk to you because your food is so good and because you're so great, that's feedback, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's... When you're going to open a barbecue restaurant in a barbecue town,
yeah,
without barbecue even in the name, and if you were to see our location, I mean, we look like a enterprise rental car. That's what this originally was. And so you might drive by two or three times and sort of not even know we're here. You know, roll down your window and you can smell the smoke if the wind's blowing right. So we knew we had our odds, you know, some odds stacked against us. But we felt if we could cook some good food, our style, and people would adopt it, then, you know, they would come.
What were you doing prior to what was your vocation? What were you doing prior to opening the restaurant, and what made you open the restaurant?
So I've been a restaurant guy my entire career, and so in the beginning, I worked for Applebee's in 1988. That was my first restaurant job when I moved to Kansas City. Okay. There were 50 Applebee's restaurants at that time. So despite whatever you're thinking about Applebee's today, at that time, I mean, it was lighting the world on fire, dining, fern bars, happy hours. I mean, you could get a steak, fajitas. Everything was made from scratch in the restaurant, all that kind of stuff. And so that was a great way for me to learn a little bit about the restaurant. In fact, I really didn't even know it was a franchise or more than one location until, like, you know, 6 weeks later, some guy showed up and they said he was the district manager and everybody got all wound up, you know, because we're having an inspection. But, you know, I got fired a few times. They kept scheduling me early, you know, in the morning, and I didn't wake up. But once I sort of got my act together, I went on to become a training consultant with them, and I opened about 50 restaurants over a span of 4 years, and it was great. It was awesome. So the first restaurants in Michigan, Texas, California.
Oh, wow.
So you meet just some amazing people doing that because it really is the best of the best. And so, you know, from there, I went on and worked at the so we moved to California.
Okay.
Because we fell in love with California when I was out there opening restaurants. So we moved out there, my wife and I, right after we got married and had our first daughter.
Where in California?
So we started out in Rancho Cucamonga.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Inland Empire, it was en route. I was supposed to go to end up in San Diego is where I wanted to be, but, you know, took the opportunity as it came to me and opened up a new restaurant there, and it was jamming and going great, and got promoted to general manager. So I went from – so here in Kansas City, I was actually working at our restaurant down the road in Berry Road. And at that time, there was just not much up there. So at any given week, it was in the top 10 of sales for the entire system. And so at this point, there's like 500 restaurants. So I was literally working in. We had managers in training, one on every station, so about 15 at any given time. Wow. So I'm in this cranking, busy restaurant. It's like a flagship for the company. I'm a young kid, you know, learning stuff, doing stuff, running a restaurant, having fun. And my first general manager job, my restaurant was doing $12,000 a week. To put that in perspective, my restaurant in Kansas City was doing like $80,000, and that's so long ago on menu price increases. I think the average price per person on a ticket was literally like $9 or something.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, a long time ago. So so I went from having an army of staff. My new restaurant that I was promoted to was the biggest restaurant that Applebee's had, same one that I had in the Berry Road, sort of off the beaten path, you know, it was a C location. And we started off rough in California. People didn't exactly figure out Applebee's, and there were so many great places out there. But that restaurant – so I would come in, and I would have one prep cook, one line cook, one hostess, one bartender, and maybe two servers. And I'm coming from having, like, so many people. So that was a great lesson for me. Great lesson.
Yeah.
And, had a great mentor. My boss out there taught me a lot, you know, and I was still a kid. But from then, I got promoted right back to the restaurant that I opened. Then from there to Orange County to Aliso Viejo.
Oh, yeah, so yeah.
There. Because you're California, right?
Yeah, I'm in Los Angeles. But I opened up cheese shops all over Southern California. We opened one up in Aliso Viejo. So I spent a lot of time there, yeah.
So this was a long time ago. The only thing that was there was a macaroni grill, and they had just opened the AMC theater. But So that was awesome. Did that. And in the meantime, my wife got a job at the Cheesecake Factory in Newport Beach. And they slowly sort of recruited me in after a time. And I was blown away with, I mean, like she trained for 8 days to become a server. I remember coming home and I would quiz her on the menu. And this is a very sharp lady. And she was worked up about passing her menu final. So I knew something was special.
Well, Cheesecake has a massive menu too. There's
yes. So anyway, that was great. And so once I went through my training with them, then they relocated me back to Kansas City, and I worked at the Cheesecake Factory here in Kansas City on the plaza.
Okay.
And at that time, that was probably the busiest restaurant in probably our 6-state area. And it was amazing. I can't say enough about 15 or 16 chefs on the line, 27 servers, 10 guys doing prep.
It's a well-run machine. I've met some people that are like recruiters for Cheesecake Factory. It's amazing how they run their business.
Yeah. So, I learned much more about cooking and the culinary aspect there. And then sort of from there, a few other deals. This could get really long. I was a guy my age, but, for the last 5 years before I started Scott's Kitchen, I was in sales with U.S. Foods.
Okay.
And so that allowed me to go in the back or front door of 50 or 75 of my independent restaurants and hotels and schools and hospitals and all those different things. And so that really allowed me to learn much more about operating a business independently and helping with them and consulting with them.
True day-to-day business side of that.
Yeah, and especially from a independent standpoint, because it's much different than when you have, it's just much different.
The corporate machine.
Yeah. So all those things are necessary and good. It's just a little bit different, but that's where my passion was. And so our location here that we're at was formerly one of my customers. It was called Shining Stars Catering, an amazing local boutique catering company. Huh. And I would moonlight with them from time to time and help out. And, they were a great customer. So they wanted me, any catering company, if you have any sort of talent whatsoever, they want you to work for them.
Yeah.
Because it is challenging because you do all this work throughout the week. And then Saturdays you're doing 5 weddings and you're putting on a show and you need all these people. But, great. So I had a big life event a few years ago that we went through. And once we kind of went through that, step back and take everything in perspective and sort of realize that you're not getting any younger and you want to, you've said you want to have your own business and it's sort of starting to get old because you're not really doing anything about it. And sort of through that, I just made the decision, okay, I'm never going to have the right plan, never going to have enough money, the circumstances, nobody's going to just come out and sort of grab you to do this. I mean, if you're going to do it, you just got to take a step. So at that point I decided, I'll go out, get 1,000 no's until I get a yes, put a plan together and get going. And so that's why this location sort of picked us versus, us picking it. So we are sort of a little bit off the beaten path here in town, but we love it here. And once we sort of made the decision and set the path in motion, then really it's sort of been God's touch since then. I mean, really just we've been – the answers sort of start to provide themselves. You just got to get out there. You got to sort of get started and, key in on your mentors and people that have been there before you.
That's great advice.
And just get, get the ball rolling. You got to get a good plan. But once you get that plan, then it's time to go for it.
So did the location open up? Did they stop their business? Is that what happened?
Yeah. So what happened is once I made that decision, then I went ahead and left US Foods and worked with Shining Stars for about a year.
Okay.
And that was part of, okay, guys, I want to focus back in on really what is my passion and goal. And so, you know, I'll help you with your business, and you can help me get with your knowledge and experience, work towards my goals. We agreed that I would do at least, that I needed to be able to do at least 8 barbecue competitions in the midst of all that. So I wanted to get really back on track with competing, trying to do it on a more regular basis. I mean, if you don't, you might get lucky, you know, you might get a good call, you might be pretty good. But I mean, the people that are really good at that, and I'm sure many of them are listening, but I mean, they do it all the time.
Yeah, you have to.
You know, they're out there week in and week, and they really have their systems and procedures down, and they're great barbecue competition barbecue cooks. And so I wanted to give that a more of a go more consistently. And so yeah, that's it. So what happened is, about 4 months after I started to work for them, like I said, it just sort of fell in place. They got a call for an opportunity to relocate,
okay,
which they, so they relocated their business, and that left this location that I am now as what's going to happen here. And so we started talking about, you know, me opening up a place, and here we are today.
So did you bring in smoker? Like, were you, during that first 4 months, were you cooking any barbecue at all?
Part of their catering business did have some smoked meat, but it was not barbecue-centric whatsoever. And so the restaurant, the catering facility here, had some bones in it, a few hood fans, and some things like that that enabled me to get started with less sort of tearing up and, yeah, and building as, yeah, far as that goes. And then, so yes, I brought in my own pit. It's a Southern Pride. And, this originally was an enterprise rental car location. So my back area is actually a big garage.
Oh,
so I have garage doors on both sides. So that was awesome because I didn't have to like break through the cinder blocks to, bring my pit inside or figure out how to do it outside or, you know, go through a wall, or there's a bunch of different ways that you can do it. But, yeah, she's back there and she's been great for me. It's time for another one.
How was the learning curve for that?
Yeah. So that is not a pit that I had worked on, yeah, exactly, in the past. I've done some sort of like that, but, no, it took a little bit. I started out following my competition routine, which means lighting the fire at 1:30 in the morning. And so that was, you know, so we rocked out some good barbecue that first month. And so I would show up at home about 9:30 or so, grab a lawn chair, you know, it's in the middle of July, crack a beer, say hi to my wife, talk about the day. And she'd be like, Scott, it's 10 o'clock. You got to go to bed. You know, you got to get up in a couple hours. And so there was a lot of adrenaline that fueled things in the beginning, yeah, for sure. And, but so I quickly adapted the routine some on pit, and we've got her dialed in now in a real good process. So we go real low every night and get back in here early in the morning, pull everything out and sort of wrap it, mop it, and sauce it. Get her back in there, and, you know, rib, turkey, chicken, all that stuff goes on immediately. And so go high. So we crank her up once we get back in here in the morning to kind of get everything finished off and done so it can rest and get ready for lunch. So, yes, we did do some adapting on that machine.
Yeah. So what time do you guys open?
So we open at 7. So we do breakfast and lunch.
Yeah, I was going to say, Monday, saw that you do breakfast, yeah.
Friday. Yeah, so Monday through Friday, breakfast and lunch, 7 to 3.
Okay.
So we're, you can come in at 7:05 and get yourself a burn-in burrito.
Oh, how great is that? And I've heard that was.
Well, your next trip to town, whenever you make it, no matter where you're going, you're 2.6 miles away from us, so you can start here.
Well, that's what I was told, is that when I did a kind of a tour with Jill Silva, Oral, we talked about. She gave a tour. I don't know if you heard that, but yeah, you're the first stop that she said to make. Yeah,
it was awesome that we were able to bat, you know, lead off as far as that goes, and just then after it, a who's who of Kansas City destinations. So,
well, even Tyler Harp, he was saying, yeah, the first stop you do is when you get to the airport, go straight to Scott's.
Yeah. I mean, it's great being up here because it doesn't matter exactly where you're going. We're here. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's awesome. And we meet a lot of people that are coming to Kansas City for whatever their reason and are hankering for some barbecue. They search their phone. They find us. We're close. And next thing you know, it's like, hey, we're here from Chicago. What should we get? You know, what are burn-ins? What's that? We quickly find out that some of the things we do here, you know, aren't done across the country.
And that's what's great too. That's another reason why I want to speak to more people from Kansas City, because I think that's an underserved notion for people. People don't understand necessarily what is your menu like?
Yeah, so we have our traditional. So when it comes to lunch, we have our traditional items, you know, smoked meat plates, which are, you know, slice of bread, your choice of one or two meats on a plate with some of our sides. You know, so we do the brisket, burn-ins, pulled pork. We smoke chicken thighs and wings.
Okay.
We make our own house-made Chipotle ghost pepper jack cheese sausage. So that's our signature guy. Big mouthful, actually. Long words. But so we do that. We also make our own chorizo. So you can sort of stick to this side, get the ribs with the combination of that on the traditional way.
Okay.
Move to the center of our menu. Then we also have tacos, burritos, and bowls. So any of the smoked meats in a combination of the different flavor variations of those,
okay,
which has proven to be, you know, quite popular.
Oh yeah.
And then of course we've got the sandwiches and stuff. So we also have added, you know, a smoked fish taco and a shrimp taco, and those are particularly popular during this time of year at Lent.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. What kind of fish is it?
Yeah, it's the good old white fish. I mean, it's tilapia. We smoke tilapia. Yeah. It makes a few rounds to the smoker, gets a little smoke on it, and, I mean, it's very tasty. It's good. It's one of my go-to items, actually.
So do your meats come with sauce already on it, or do you add sauce? How does that work?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, man, we're in Kansas City, and in Kansas City, we're a sauce town.
Of course, okay? Of course.
So I can tell when you're not from Kansas City, because you start asking some questions, and that's great. We love people from all over the country. But here, we hit you with a little sauce. Yeah. So it's just a light, we call it a kiss, you know, but the brisket, burn-ins, ribs, chicken are all going to get just a little light brush of sauce before we serve it to you. And then we have our two sauces on the table for you to choose from to customize the way that you want.
What are those sauces?
Yeah, so one's called our sweet and the other one is called our spicy.
Okay.
And I wouldn't say the spicy is going to, you know, make you drink a pitcher of water or anything like that. It's just got a little bit more of a dynamic flavor range, sort of the top end. For that sausage that I said we make, as well as in the spicy and a couple other components, we make a mother sauce, if you will, that's not really available. You can get it by request, but it is, I go and buy every hot pepper that I can find at the farmer's market downtown.
Okay.
So we're talking ghost peppers, Thai chilies, habaneros, serranos, and we put them all in a pot, and my chef, Tom, he, you know, adds additional components, and that ends up coming down, you know, getting all the way pureed into this super awesome hot concoction. And so we use that as a base on many of our spicy. Okay. And so for the guy or gal that complains that my ghost pepper sausage, they really wanted it to like burn their mouth off because it says ghost. So I'll just go back to the back. I'll grab a side of that. You know, I'll stick it in front of them, and I'll kind of go, all right.
Go do it. Get at it.
You really want it hot? Okay, go do that.
That's funny. It's funny too that people want something. Like I like spicy. I love spicy, but I don't like to be like to make it so that I can't eat the food or to not be able to breathe.
Yeah, there's a small selection of people out there that are looking for that, but most people, yeah, we want flavor. You know, we want flavor.
So then on the weekends too, it's just is it. Breakfast too? Do you say breakfast and lunch, or is it just lunch on the weekends?
Yeah, so on the weekends, I play golf. I go on my boat. No, I'm joking. I don't do any of that. Actually, on the weekends.
You play golf on your boat.
Yeah, don't have a boat. Now, on the weekends, we're pretty active with catering, and so it's not that we're not doing anything at night or on the weekends. Okay. And for a little place like this, you're always thinking about what's next. You know, we probably have... Well, tomorrow night we've got Build Your Own Taco Station for 250 people.
Wow.
In addition to about four other jobs that people are picking up between 3 and 5. And then we got a fair amount of stuff going out at lunch. So it's always a puzzle trying to figure out how to, you know, get everything together, get it right. We don't do this kind of thing too far ahead of time. So, you know, you're going to get it all coming right out of the smoker and sliced up and panned up and sent to you wherever you're going.
So catering, even because it's in the title of your name, but catering is a big component of your business plan too. And that's something, yeah. I think it's important for a lot of restaurants, people that might, because a lot of people who watch these and listen to these want to open a restaurant someday, or like it's in the back of their mind, kind of like you. It's like something that they've always
wanted. Yeah.
So but catering, I think until I worked in restaurants, I didn't realize how lucrative or how important it is to a business.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my restaurant has 9 tables in front and 18 bar stools at a couple counters that we built in. So it is a small restaurant. Mm-hmm. And so catering was always an important component the model. And we're fortunate. I mean, there's a ton of businesses that are around here that if they don't order from us once a week, it's every other week. And whether it's delivery for 20 people or 200, it's an important part of the business. I used to sort of get worried when I would look at my calendar and not really see anything booked. You know, I turn the month and here we go, here's another month, and I just have this on this day and this day. And it's crazy. Actually, now all the activity happens like either, you know, today for tomorrow or within 3 to 7 days. Like, hey, next Tuesday, Scott, can you hook us up with, you know, we got 45 people. What should we do? You know? And so that's a little bit reassuring. It's a little bit hard to plan for, but basically load the pit and figure out where you're going to get this meat to and who's going to come and eat it.
And do you have a catering menu that's on your online, or do you guys have something that you guys email people? Just so, because I'm sure people who listen to this might be interested in knowing.
Yeah, not really. My catering menu is like 2 boxes on the back of my regular menu. And so it's right up there on a list of things that I need to sort of do that I haven't really, we haven't really been getting around to because we're just going. And so catering starts with the conversation. So despite the fact that we really have no catering menu, we've been fortunate enough to build quite a little catering business.
But it's like you said, it's a discussion. You talk to somebody, and you've done it enough now that you could just tell them exactly what they need if they tell you how many people. And
yeah, for sure. But you know, some of those marketing pieces, it's a little bit beyond us to go ahead and sort of get those projects done. So I would tell you that it was around somewhere between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year that I sort of, I guess, allowed myself to believe that we were going to make it, or maybe just permission to just believe, okay, I think
this is going to
work. So since then, it's really been now, you know, considering the options for growth and what we can do, you know, here inside of the restaurant and outside of the restaurant, but really, you know, adding team members, teaching them aspects of the roles and responsibilities that sort of have been on my plate since we opened has been really the goal for the first quarter. And so, you know, I'm ready to sort of not do everything a lot.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
Not that I don't like doing it, because I certainly do, but I've got great people around me. I mean, I really have an amazing team, and so the more that I teach them, the better it gets done, or more consistently, and that's an important rule too. I mean, I know all that stuff from back in the day, but it's sort of hard, you know, when you're going down the road at 80 miles an hour to stop and do some of those things. So,
and when it's your own baby too, it's not as easy.
Yeah, and we never really set out to, like, do the most. We set out to make sure that what we do is excellent. I mean, is of very high quality. You can decide how you rate it, but we want to put, you know, so we do a lot of steps that probably most places would consider unnecessary or maybe too much work. And we feel like, you know, that comes across in the flavor. Mm-hmm. And the presentation and the overall, you know, experience. And in a town that's as competitive as this, you better have something somebody likes, you know, because if not, you know, you might get one chance. And if not, there's about 85 or 90 other places that you can go try.
I was going to say, there's a lot of options. So it's to be able to stand out or become a place that people frequently go to, that's important. And it says something.
Yeah. And, you know, word of mouth has been everything, like I said, from the people that work around here to, you know, our local guests that have found us. And we're still meeting people every day. Hey, I talked to so-and-so. They told me you have to go there. And, you just can't say enough about that piece. So, you know, you don't really have to worry too much about a big advertising campaign or spending a lot of money putting ads and different things. You know, if you focus on what's most important, which is the food, mm-hmm. backed by the experience, then, you have a shot at getting people to come back and see you again.
That's true. Well, if you specifically are going to have lunch, what would you order from your restaurant? What would you eat? What's your favorite thing to eat right now?
Man, I mean, I'm all over the place, but I would tell you that just a like a chorizo taco is a great way to get a little bit of a snack. You know, we haven't done wings since we opened, so wings are a little bit newer. So you'll often see me sort of running over there, you know, open up my warmer, grabbing a couple wings and dipping them in our white barbecue sauce. That's a favorite of mine, quick and easy. But our most popular thing for sure are burnt ends. And, I mean, burrito, taco, smoked meat plate, doesn't matter. Burnt ends, people you know, really, really like those.
They're so great. If you haven't had burnt ends, you need to have them, and have them somewhere that does it legitimately. Some places have it; it's like an afterthought. But it's if you really care about what you're doing, burnt ends are special.
Yeah, we think so. It's there's a lot of ways that you can get them in our town as well. So some of them, you know, bring new meaning to the word burnt. They're really not necessarily supposed to be sort of these chunks of gristle. Sort of charcoal and gristle that, you know, when you're done, you look like you really need to brush your teeth. You know, you've been gargling in ashes or something
like a big handful of Oreos or something.
Right. No, I mean, really the best burn in is like a little meat marshmallow. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of the fat that holds together that meat that's sort of around it, and good bark on the outside, super juicy, tender on the inside. That's what you're looking for in it.
I am so far away from you right now. You're making me hungry, but you will be my first stop when I get to Kansas City.
Okay, that's great.
Well, is there anything else about Scott's that we didn't talk about? Because I want to make sure we cover everything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. We've went through a lot of different things.
Yeah, this has been so great. I know people will get a lot out of this.
If someone's still listening right now, I will be surprised, actually.
It will, for sure. No, I think people love to hear the journey and the story, and they, and especially if it's a place that they don't know about. I think I've a lot of times people have said, like, how do you find these places? Because people, not everyone, because if you're focused on a specific thing, like say you're just focused on Texas or North Carolina or Carolina style, you know, you might not have heard of Scott's, and I think that's important that they do.
Yeah, you know, what I would say to people, if you're, you know, if you're somebody that's in the business and you're doing this, then there's really nothing that I've said that you don't know or haven't done, and probably have much more experience than me. So, but if you're cooking in the backyard or out of your garage, or you're doing some catering, you know, had a chance to meet, you know, my buddy Tyler Harp, who you mentioned, and I just, you know, got to listen to his interview, and gosh, he knows more people in barbecue than I could even begin to think, and really proud of him. But, you know, sort of the same path. I mean, working out of, you know, start by smoking that meat and figuring out what works best for you. And then as far as sort of getting it into, you know, a restaurant, catering or some kind of business, then, you know, there's templates out there, there's plans, and I really haven't met anybody in barbecue that won't talk to you.
For sure.
That won't, you know, that won't invite you in. I mean, one of my regular customers wants to make a go of something in Washington, D.C., and I said, hey, come in, play restaurant with me a couple days. I mean, get your running shoes on, and, you know, we'll take you through a day in the life and see if you really want to know what you're signing up for, because it's not all the glory of just shaking your best seasoning on that, you know, one or two briskets at a time. I mean, once you stack up, you know, 400 pounds of it, and you're staring at the clock and wondering if you're going to get home by mid, you know, when you got to get back in there, and there's a lot of trimming to do. I mean, there's that too. And that, so those are all the good things that come with getting started and opening your own business. I would tell you that if you come to our town, then there's just a variety of amazing restaurants, and don't take anybody's word on what's the best, because we have a lot of the best.
Exactly. It's a town full of the best. Yeah.
And so, not to say that, you know, I recently made a trip to Texas, and I got a chance to drop by Black's Barbecue in Lockhart on the way to San Antonio, and then I found a great restaurant called 2M Smokehouse that sort of reminded me of us, sort of new to the scene, four or five people sort of putting out some really great barbecue, and that inspired me. But, you know, different than us. But, you know, I would tell you that there's so many different ways and flavors around that you just, you know, go and try it on your own.
And put your own twist on it, too. That's important. Because if you're not passionate, because you have to be passionate about what you're doing.
Don't be afraid to try some stuff. Maybe some of the stuff gets a little bit out there. You know, I've heard some pretty crazy, wacky ideas, but people are doing it. And, you know, that's fun too. So, you know, we're breakfast and lunch because that's what we decided to do, and that's really what our market dictates. We're not really trying to chase the nights. We got plenty of stuff to do with the weekends and different things like that. And honestly, we're just not trying to go out and serve everybody all the time. We want to sort of do what we do in a way that we can really have a high, you know, high amount of control on what comes out, and, you know, hopefully you make it here in time that we still have some smoked meat from that day. Cause I would tell you that I don't know what happened today, but, literally we finished with three sausages, about 6 pounds of burn-ins, and, three pieces of chicken. And I'm not even joking.
Wow. That's fantastic. But also too, people can come, can stop by if they miss you guys, say their flight's late or they're not in the area, they can come back on the way in to the airport.
Yeah, I mean, people make us a part of their regular trip, whether they're from Springfield, Missouri, or, you know, somewhere in Nebraska, they're traveling down this way, and they, you know, they'll make it a point to sort of stop in before they leave, or, you know, once they get out. We have a lot of our frequent flyers, too, that, you know, the road warriors that are coming to town and have somehow found us. on the first trip. I mean, I've heard these crazy stories. I mean, somebody at the airport in Chicago said, hey, oh, you're going to Kansas City? Hey, there's this place by the airport, you know?
That's great.
You got to try it. And so that has been, you know, really fun too. And I can't underestimate the community around here that's driven by aviation. The rampers, the flight attendants.
Oh, that's true.
The pilots, the police, van drivers, our local hotels are amazing support. You know, we partner together as far as that goes. And that's all really helped with the sense of community up here. And of course, they just broke ground Monday on a brand new airport terminal for us that when it's said and done in like 4 years, will be really a awesome gateway to the city. So being up here this close to it is pretty outstanding.
Yeah, and especially with all the workers coming in for that, you're going to be servicing a lot of people. That'll be great.
I think we're going to be
busy.
I think we're going to have our hands full.
Excellent. And that's great to hear. And I thank you for sharing your journey and just being so forthcoming about all the different steps, because I think that's important for people to hear. And I think, and like you said, if they're still listening, which I hope they are, generally they are. People tell me they listen to most of these the whole way through. But they get a chance to, you know more about you and your restaurant. When they come in, they kind of know you. And I think that's important.
Yeah, please say hello. We'd love to meet you. I love talking about barbecue. Talking to our guests is really the highlight of my day. And you do all the rest of this stuff so you can get a chance to interact with people that care enough to come and try your food. So would love to meet everyone. Kevin, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Really cool. I can't wait to meet you one of these days. And I think we'll probably go ahead and sign off from the world headquarters of Scott's Kitchen, Kansas City.
All right. You take care, Scott. Have a great rest of your week.
Yes. Come and see us. Thanks.
I will, for sure. All right. Thanks so much.